All right, I'm just going to open in prayer if you don't mind. Father, I just thank you for the Word of God. Father, I thank you that you've given us the Bible, Lord, that we can read and study. Father, we have seed that can be planted into our hearts and into our minds, Lord. That, Father, you feed us with the bread of life, Father. That, Father, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Father, I thank you that you and the Word are one, for your Word is forever settled in heaven, Lord. It's unchangeable, even as you're unchanging, Father. So, Father, I thank you that we have this book that we can trust in and rely on, Father, that as we have difficulties in this life, we can be convicted in our hearts of the depths of our beings that your Word is faithful, Lord. I thank you for that, and I give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So today we're going to be talking about what? Healing. This is healing school. We're going to talk about healing today, okay? All right, praise the Lord. You know, we're off to a great start this morning. I want to give a couple of examples that I have learned over the last few weeks, and I've been sharing them a lot with everybody, because how many of you know when you get a new revelation, it's really alive to you? And then that real life that's flowing inside of you, that same life can be transferred into the people that you're sharing with, because it's life. So I do want to share a couple of revelations that I've got just recently, at the very minimum, at least one. And we're going to look in the Word of God over this, okay? So since it's healing school, and how many of you noticed that the weather's changing? The weather's changing. Isn't that great? So you know what happens when the weather changes? Focus changes. Isn't that great? And so we're going to be talking about a few things that we might want to change where our attention is at. And so I want to talk about healing. I want to talk about the Bible, and I want to talk about the one who wants to rob us of having what God provided for us. You know, I don't like to give the devil too much credit, and I certainly don't want to teach on hell and that kind of stuff, because that falls to the ground. But I do want to talk about what the Bible says is true, how we need it in our hearts, and that we have someone who is truly, actively trying to get us to not lay hold of what it was given to us as a reality for our life. Okay? Not that we won't say that it's not true, but that it will not be a reality that we personally experience in our life. So we're going to talk about those things. So let me give the example to start, and then we'll build on that. I've been gardening this season. How many of y'all know I've been gardening? Most of you know if you've been around me at all. I've been gardening, and I want to let you know. See that color? It's flesh-colored. It's not green. Okay? I do not have a green thumb, and I'm not like prophesying or anything. It's just not natural yet. Now, I'm not saying it won't be green eventually, but right now, it's not. It's not stained from touching green plants so much that the green gets on me. So I want to let you know that I've been gardening, and I've been seeing some things in the Bible that the Lord's been showing me, and I've been seeing how I'm being robbed because of an adversary. I'm being robbed because of ignorance. Those two things have been robbing me, and let me explain how I've been robbed. I was thought that if you take a seed, a good seed, and place it in the ground and give it water and let the sun shine on it, that it will grow. Do you know in some circumstances that is true? But not in all circumstances. The ground where I live, you put a seed in the ground and water it, you know what happens? You get mud. Nothing grows. And I had to ask myself, why does nothing grow except weeds? Weeds can grow easy. But why not the good things that I want? My first discovery. I went and got what was called, after weeks of planting and wishing and hoping and praying and nothing happening, I went and got something called a soil test done. How many have heard of a soil test? And that's where a scientist, somebody, an expert that knows about soil and what should be in good soil and what is actually in your soil, can make a report and tell you what's actually in your ground. And they did a soil report, and there's something called pH in a soil. It's in our bodies, it's in our food, it's the difference between alkaline, which is base, and acidity, which is corrosive. So we've got this balancing scale between what is alkaline and what is corrosive or acidic. Do you know weeds like a more acidic soil? But good fruits and good crops like a more alkaline soil. So if you've got acidic soil, good crops have a very difficult time getting started in your soil. I didn't know that. So in other words, my flesh, if I'm too acidic, now I'm going to talk metaphorically and not actually, because our bodies are acidic and they are also base. And literally, if we are too acidic in our physical body, sicknesses grow in our body much easier. Inflammation much easier in an acidic flesh. Just like in acidic dirt, weeds grow much easier. Interesting. However, there's a tipping point. Once you can get more alkaline, actual calcium and things like that that are more alkaline in your body, health can be much more vibrant in your flesh. Well, same with my garden. But if you go too alkaline, nothing grows again. So there is a fine line on what the balance is. So in my flesh, for sicknesses and disease, I have to keep it at a certain level of alcohol, pH, not alcohol, alkaline, pH, so that I can be more resistant to sickness. That's why we eat certain foods for nutrients, right? For that balancing of our system. Same with my garden. pH was number one. You know what the second thing was I learned? There is something called fertilizer. Some of you guys giggle. Guess what I didn't know about? Fertilizer. I didn't know that you can actually add nutrients to your soil to give it the qualities that not only the seed likes to grow, but that I can grow the type of plant that I want, and it can not only grow and be green, but bud and fruit also by what's in my soil. So they gave me this. In fertilizers, you got these numbers, these three numbers on the bags, and that's called your NPK number. I'm learning. I'm showing you guys what I've learned here. NPK, that's nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Those three things are vital in growing vegetables. It just has to be in the soil. Well, my soil didn't have those three things. It was clay. And so I couldn't grow a good crop in my soil, even when I got the alkaline right, because I didn't have those three items in my soil. We have to have in our soil those necessary pieces of information or scriptures in my heart, down deep in my heart, just like down in my soil. I have to have these scriptures that get me to be able to grow a crop and get a harvest for whatever I'm believing God for. Without them in there, I can believe all day long, but I've got nothing that can actually nourish that thing to grow inside of me. Because there's another part after this. So you got your NPK, and I had to add fertilizer. Well, I did. I got my verses, we'll say, for say I'm fighting poverty or sickness, or I have emotional problems, or whatever I be dealing with. I am not walking in enough of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, whatever it is I'm fighting. I get my verses, okay, and I get them in my soil. I get the rototiller and I stir it all up. Now I've got the basic things for my plants to grow. Nice, huh? I can start expecting a harvest. Well, I guess what? Different plants need different scriptures. I didn't know that. I thought that by his stripes I'm healed helps me in everything, in prosperity, in relationships, in all the areas of my life. I can get one or two verses and I'm good. Guess what? That doesn't work like that. I need the exact nutrients that this plant that I want, this result I want in my life, I need the right nutrients for that particular result. And guess what? Ignorance doesn't count. Ignorance absolutely does not count. You won't grow. You can want to, and I could have tantrums about my plants, and I could tell them, you grow! But guess what? They just didn't have what they needed. So I added it in. And guess what? After a few days of having this fertilizer on the soil and continue to water and all, things just started growing. And you know what? The first thing I noticed, my leaves, which were a shade of green, turned deep green on my plants. Deep, deep green on my plants. You know what caused the deep green to grow on my plants? One specific thing I put in my fertilizer, nitrogen. That's that NPK number, nitrogen, and or whatever, however it goes. Anyway, the N is nitrogen, and nitrogen is what gives your plants the ability to turn green and leafy. And so guess what? I have the most beautiful beans lining my fence. Big leaves, really green leaves. Guess what? Not a single flower, not a single bean. But they look great. Wow, they look great. But not a single flower, not a single bean. Guess what? What good is a healthy plant that's green but doesn't give me the thing I planted it for, which is the beans, right? Jesus cursed a fig tree for that very same reason. It's just taking up space in the ground. It's just using my nutrients I just put in the ground, and it's stealing them. It's robbing the ground of all those nutrients and not doing what it's supposed to do. But you know what? Nitrogen is not what produces root growth or budding. Nitrogen produces greenness and leaves to grow. And I was getting that. Whose fault is that? The plants or mine? I had to put phosphorus in my soil. By putting the phosphorus in the soil, now the roots can start growing and the plant can start budding with phosphorus. So I needed more phosphorus in my soil. It was the most depleted part of my soil. I needed more specific scriptures than the generic ones I was using that will do exactly the part that I need to bring my harvest to completion. Some of us are believing God for healing in certain areas. And I want you to know that some of us endure not having what we're believing for because it's not worth the battle to go in and get the scriptures and find them and dig them out and get them in my heart and hold them in my heart. I dawdled too long before I put the nutrients in the ground that I needed. After I got the right balance of nutrients, my plants started flowering and fruit started coming from them. The first was my cucumber plant. wow, it got so tall. I gave it the trellis to grow on. Now, this is my first time I've ever done this, you guys. So I am very excited that I'm seeing flowers and actual cucumbers hanging off of the plant. Hallelujah! My harvest is growing. I'm going to have cucumber salad. Glory to God. I'm getting all excited. I haven't eaten any cucumbers yet, by the way. So I'm excited about my cucumbers, and I am ready. I've gotten my scriptures. I'm walking around. I'm declaring what the scriptures say. I'm getting my mind renewed. It's getting deep into my heart. I'm getting the right scriptures that I need for my situation. And along starts coming some progress. The pain starts leaving my body. My hearing starts being restored. My walk starts being straight again, and my back is straight again, and my balance has returned. I've got praise in my lips now, and I'm glorifying God because I am reaping my reward. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Praise God. It's happening. Along comes something that I never counted on in a million years. Because you know what? I got the pH right. I was eating healthy. I was eating the right food naturally for my body to be healthy. And I got the scriptures in my mind so that I'm not only doing natural things to do, I'm doing the spiritual things to do. And I'm getting some results, and praise God, it's going forward. And then this little tiny critter that I never suspected, because it came at nighttime. So I could never see it because it only comes out at nighttime. And it's a little moth. And that little moth gives eggs into my plant and creates something called a pickle worm. I had no idea that pickle worms existed on the planet. And you know what that pickle worm does? He drills the tiniest little hole into my cucumber. And in that little tiny hole, he just starts eating that cucumber out and growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And not only did the pickle worms get in my cucumbers, all my zucchini and my squashes, when they start to flower, he goes right into that flower bud and starts eating the center out of that bud, so it doesn't even get to bear fruit. It eats it all out before it can even start to bear fruit. We have an adversary. And we can't discount that he's going to do his part also to rob us. He is out there, and there's just no doubt about it. And if we don't prepare for his coming, we will lose the progress that we started getting originally, because he won't let you get all the way to success if he has his way about it. It's a fact. So that's my revelation on spiritual things by gardening. So I want to let you know, since this is my first time gardening, and my thumbs are not green yet, you know how much I've gotten to eat out of my garden? Zero. You know why? Because I wasn't prepared for what was ahead of me. I was ignorant. I was just hoping that my garden would grow. And I want to let you know, I spent a lot of time putting up a retaining wall, putting up a tall fence to keep the deer and the raccoons out, put it all in, built gates, did hoses, timers, everything that I knew to do. But you know what I didn't have? Knowledge. I didn't have the knowledge of what I was really up against, because I was hoping that it would kind of like take care of itself if I gave it the typical little things. And you know, we're guilty of that when it comes to healing or something we're believing God for. We can think that if we just do the basic little things, that God will do the rest. But I want to let you know something. I went out and I started spraying some, well, first of all, let me tell the truth. We went out and we mixed up something called neem oil, which is supposed to kill these bugs, but let the plants do well and the bees do well. You know what we did? We mixed too much up the first time. So when we squirted it out, we killed off all the green leaves on our plants, and it looked like they were completely going to die. No progress at all. That's a lot like what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, 26, I think it is, where it says that, be angry, but do not sin, nor give foothold to the devil. It says, be angry, do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So we were angry, but we got carried away with our wrath against the bugs, and we ended up hurting the delicate plant that we were trying to grow. We can sometimes try to fight the devil so hard that we lose our perspective on what God has given us. So we can't give the devil more of our attention than we need. We got to balance exactly believing God and resisting the devil. Okay? Another spiritual lesson. So then we got our stuff back again. And you know what I learned? I have to go out there regularly and spray this oils and things on my plants to start protecting them. And I believe that this next harvest, I'm going to get all of it. I got a lot of stuff growing right now, and I'm just hoping it's all going to be mine before the frost comes in a couple of months. Amen? So let's get some scriptures out, shall we? Let's go first to Isaiah 53, 1 through 4. So it says, you know what? I want to change that, Julie. If you can jump in there and go 4 through 6 instead. So, as we do this, I'm just going to read. If you guys have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is powerful, very, very powerful. But how many of you know, sometimes in my tribulations and in my trials, when I'm suffering things, I can just read this casually, like just kind of tossing a little bit of fertilizer out there instead of really putting it down in my heart and getting it to where it's actually the truth that I live by. You see, the devil has no right to put anything on us. No sickness. Our bodies aren't supposed to be breaking down. We're not supposed to have pain in our bodies. We're not supposed to have those problems in our life. Those were from the curse, from us being separated from God. And when our attention was off of God, these curses could come in. But when we repent or change our mind and change our direction and put our attention back in fellowship with God, then all of the curses were removed from us, right? So if you're doing something that is wrong, then it's easy to believe in the Old Testament that these curses would come upon us. They're a byproduct of not having a true relationship with God, okay? But when you return to the source, boom, it makes you immune to all of those things. Favor's there, blessings there, and health is in your body. So it's a God issue. But if we're born again, we have the Spirit of God in us now, right? We all do. And so Jesus on the cross paid it all. In fact, look in Isaiah 40. Go back a couple of books in Isaiah. So I'm giving you some nutrients to put into your soil right now. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, We're going to read verse 1 and 2, and then I might talk on the other verses. But verse 1, comfort, yes, comfort my people. All right, this is good news that's ready to come to all of us. Says your God, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. Double for her sins. In other words, Jesus paid twice as much as was necessary to pay the price for the sins of the world. He paid twice the amount. How many of you know that if I owed you $5,000 and I paid you $5,000, you'd be happy that I paid my debt, right? But what if I gave you $10,000 when I owed you $5,000? You'd be more than happy, wouldn't you? And our debt would be paid in full. It would be removed. And not only that, you'd be happy to see me every day after that, wouldn't you be? Because I was so generous back to you for what you paid, what you gave to me. God is so happy with us. Look what it says in Isaiah 50. I don't have this one up there, so you're going to have to look in your own Bible. Isaiah 54. Go back to a little bit where we were. In verse 9 and 10 of Isaiah 54, it says, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. So in other words, guess what, guys? So not only did Jesus take it on the cross, he paid double for what was owed to the world, because if you sin, you must die. He paid double for that. Not only did he pay double, but because of that, the covenant we have with God, he will never be angry with us ever again. He'll never look at us sideways. There's nothing you can do to get him mad at you. That's a big one. Remember what it says in Romans 8:1, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? Remember that one? There's no condemnation. In other words, it's only going to be our adversary that will bring condemnation on us. What does it say that the devil is? He is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. Just like them little pickle worms, you know, going around looking at my plants, seeing which one of my plants they can get into and start devouring. And because of my ignorance, not knowing that there's even such a thing called a pickle worm, that thing got in there and was eating my zucchini, my cucumbers and my zucchini and my squash. So I want to let you know, the devil's looking around to see which one of us he can rob us from the fruit in our life. Devouring has a connotation of eating and consuming voraciously. Those pickle worms will get every cucumber they can get. There's no end to how many of them they're going to attack. You know that? And so I have to really be active. I have to be diligent and vigilant for my adversary, the devil. So I need to be diligent and vigilant, and you do also. So when we're believing God for healing, you know, we got to be on it. We got to really be on it. We can't take it for granted because we read that by his stripes we were healed. We have to press in and we have to go for it, and we've got to really hang on to it. Amen? So the word adversary is a great word. It's anti-dikos, I think it is. So diokonos is like righteousness or equity. And so this is against what's right. Anti is against. So he's against what's rightfully ours. That's a big thing, you guys. The devil is against what is rightfully yours and mine. Whatever Jesus gave us, he wants to make sure we don't lay hold of it. You know that? He'll let us go to church. He'll let us give offerings. He'll let us speak Bible verses. But he does not want us to manifest what it is that we're believing God for. He is very much against that. So here's the conundrum that too many of us walk through. We think that God is going to stop the devil from attacking us because we're his children. Do you know what? God did not stop my pickle worms. Whose responsibility was it to protect my crop? My responsibility to protect my crop. God promises that he'll give the increase. He'll cause it to grow and to produce after its own kind. And guess what? It does every single time because he's fulfilling his part of it. But we're the husbandman. We're the one that takes it and grooms it and prunes it and twists it all up on the vine and we'll get it all the way we need to do to get the fruit that we want out of it. Amen? So here's the thing. Remember what it says in Matthew, that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that great words? Whose responsibility is to bring what's in heaven to be on the earth? Yours and mine. So the way it is in heaven, we get to be the people that manifest it on the earth. Yay! That is a big yay, or else it's a, oh. You mean God's not going to do it for me? No, I have to renew my mind. I've got to believe God. I've got to void out the pain that I'm going through, and I've got to take advantage of it. And I want to let you know, I am just as guilty as anybody else. Some of the really big things I stand against very strong. But some of the little things, I don't resist. I don't stand against them strong. And guess what? They take more ground. And you know what's the problem with those ones that I found in my life? Because they came on so subtle and they've lasted so long, it's like I'm able to live with it. And it's robbing me. And yet I don't have what it takes to stand up to it because it hasn't been important enough yet. Until it gets to a place to where there's no reversing it because I've gotten so much energy into letting it be where it is that for me to exert the energy I need to change it, it's going to take a whole life reformation, a whole reformatting the way that I do anything. Because some of those things like my eyesight, for instance, how many of you know it's easy to believe that when you get older, you need glasses? Where does it say that in the Bible? Who in the Bible wore glasses? Who? Nobody. What did they do? What did they do? Old people exercised the scriptures. Old people read the scriptures back then. What did they do? They didn't come under that, well, I guess we all are going to lose our eyesight at a certain place in our life. They stood against it. I know lots of people that have stood against their eyesight, stood against infirmities in their eyes and such, and they see great. But guess what? I haven't exercised what I need to do it in that area because I've been putting my attention in other areas as a priority. Some of you might have some things in your body that you're not the one actively doing what it takes to remove those things in your life or to believe God. So what's the format that I've given you, which is founded in the Bible? Because I want to tell you something. God's simple. He's a very, very simple God. Remember the KISS principle? Keep it simple, saint. An acronym. KISS. Keep it simple, saint. That's the Christian version, you know. There's an ungodly version also, but the Christian version is keep it simple, saint. And so the thing is like God is very simple. He's not complex in anything. None of his systems are very complex at all. They're all very simple systems. And this one is true also. God's words are not only alive, but they are true and we can depend on them. God's word alone is truth. And when we can find out what the Bible says in our area, it's up to us to believe God, not the symptoms. Okay? We have to believe God over whatever we're experiencing in our life and get a new mindset set and allow the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit in our lives. And He will be. Because when we believe God and we stand on the Scriptures, I'm telling you, the times that I have faith without doubting mixed in with it, when I just speak something and go on my way, every time I get it. Every time. I'll give you a little thing. My sister and I were going, my mother just passed away, and so we were doing a funeral in Montana. And I don't know what is going on in Montana, but every hotel was booked and every car rental, every single car was rented. And every one of the rental agencies, I called every one of them, I'll just let you know. Every one of them was rented. There were no cars. So me and my sister were flying. We met at Salt Lake City and we flew into Great Falls together. And she goes, what are we going to do? I go, don't worry about it. God's got it. Don't worry about it. God's got it. And one lady gave me a little bit of hope. She says, we don't have anything, but maybe something's going to be returned tonight. But I cannot make any guarantees at all. I don't even know if it's even going to be returned. So, but possibly. I took that as a yes. I absolutely took it as a yes because I knew God. So I had hope now. And that hope that I had was not going to be deferred and make my heart sick, but I was going to stand on it. So my sister, what are you going to do? I go, God's got it. It's going to be fine. So then I'm prepared that whether we get a car or we got to take a cab, it's going to be fine. I'm not going to get worked up over it. So as soon as we got off the plane, we're walking through the stuff. I look over at the rental agency that lady said, well, I only work till 5, and it was like late in the evening, 10 o'clock or something. And so there was really, but she was there in the rental agency. And I saw another lady with clipboard and papers. And I'm going, they're getting ready to close down. They're leaving. And we walked over there. And I said, hi, I'm Robert Stumpf. And she says, I know that name. I said, yeah, I spoke to you earlier. You said there was a slim chance you might have a car. She says, they just came in a few moments ago. And if you want this van, you can have it. But it's not cleaned. It's dirty. So you're going to be taking a dirty vehicle. Is that okay with you? I said, absolutely okay with us. And I look at my sister. She goes, we don't need a van. I said, I know we don't need a van, but you know, it's the only vehicle. Is that okay? Yes, it's okay. So we got the van and everything. Extra insurance, the whole shebang. And we go. And God provided the car for us. Not only did He provide the car for us, but I had a sister who was coming in 3 days on a bus from Texas. And lo and behold, this sister, unknown to me, was in a wheelchair and needed a ride to the city that the burial was in. And she had a guide dog with her. And guess what? Nobody could get her in their vehicles. But because God gave us a van, and I'm the only one in my family that doesn't have aught with this one sister, she's in our van, and I'm giving her a ride down to the funeral and all. And God worked out every single detail as we just let Him do it. Right? So, that when we will believe Him and have some type of word that we can cling to, it'll happen. So whatever you're believing God for, whether it's finances, whether it's healing in your body, whether it's a restoration of something that's been broken, whatever it is, if we'll get the right word, the right verses for that, and we get them down in our hearts, and then we pray about it and we get a word from God, we can't be stopped. We absolutely cannot be stopped. You know, James talks about the will of God. You know, because it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what's God's will on the earth? To bring the kingdom of God here. But Jesus says, I delight to do thy will, O God. Right? So Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. So Jesus was focused in on God. What was it that Jesus focused in on? Manifesting the kingdom of God on the earth. So when James says that when we pray and ask God for wisdom, James 1:5, that he will give it to us liberally, right? Lavishly. He will overflow it. And here's the verse. It says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. He said he'd never be angry with us again. And it will be given to him. So if we want to know what the will of God is, he will absolutely show us what his will for your life is, and along with our corporate will, which is bringing the kingdom of God manifesting on the earth through signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen? So also it says in John, I think it's 1 John. Let me look real quick for you. Let me just look real quickly because I don't want to say something that's not true. Oh, yeah, it is. It's 1 John 5:14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, so he says, thy will be done. He says, not my will, but your will, Lord. He says, it's God's will that heaven comes to the earth. He says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And then look at the next verse. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. That's like I melt inside when I'm reading this to you right now. It's like, really? God wants us to walk in health. Jesus went to great lengths that we could not only have health, but it says that he became poor that we may become rich. That means wealth. It doesn't mean anything except financial wealth. So every area for restoration in relationships, for emotional healing, for mental healing, for physical healing, for all of it, Jesus manufactured the healing. He manufactured the cure. He manufactured the payment by taking those stripes on him so that we can absolutely be healed, so that we can be whole, and so that we can have good relationships with everybody and flourish and prosper in those relationships. God gave us everything to do that. We don't have to do anything except believe him, get his word in our heart, and follow the instructions as he leads us along, showing us what his will is each day and each moment of those things we're believing him for. And he will prosper us. He will absolutely prosper us in any area that we're believing him for. But like me, if we don't really put in the ground what needs to be put in the ground, then know what it is we want to grow and give it what it that thing needs, and then protect it against the adversaries that want to rob me of my harvest. If I don't do all of those things, I don't eat. And I'm going to have to trust somebody else that was doing these things right for me to eat their crops because I've got none of my own. Are you with me? So, little similitude, if the trucking system ever stopped because they boycott these new robot trucks and they stop driving in a boycott, and the stores go at least a week without any supplements, and the food dries up, do you have what it takes to put food on your tables? In the natural. See, because we've been trained to believe somebody else to provide our food for us. Well, I think that we might be trained in the church to believe that somebody that's anointed with this gift of healing or some special moment or a miracle would provide what we believe God for, instead of us being able to lay hold of the truth, cultivating our hearts, defending it against the evil, and growing up and eating the fruit of what we're believing God for. Are you with me? Amen. I love you guys. I hope this helps. It's not one of my shouting and hollering messages like usual, but I want to let you know, we need. We're in a different season right now. We're in a different season. We were in a season where it was lighthearted and easy to be a Christian. And we would complain about stuff still. Well, now this pressure is being applied in the atmosphere. There's a pressure being applied for conformity in the atmosphere. And now we get to decide, do we let that remain in the atmosphere and push us for more and more and more ground? Or do we in the spirit realm bust it free in the spiritual realm? That's on you and me. It's not on somebody more spiritual than us. It's on you and me to break free in the spiritual realm. So we have to decide if we're willing to even do that, and then we've got to do it if we are. You know, Minton showed me something this morning. We were praying not too long ago about COVID and about the coronavirus and all. And you know what? He showed me that on a graph chart, right after we prayed, and I'm not giving any special accolades to us because I believe God's put it on lots of people's hearts to do this, but I believe all of us jointly prayed together about certain things and breaking it, and he has shown that it's been a rapid decline ever since that day. So they're charting it and they're graphing it. And so there is something happening, because here's my belief. The Bible says that when they were in Egypt, the more pressure that was applied to them, more bondage, the more they grew in numbers. Okay? I think that this pressure that's being applied to us is pressure that we should not complain about. But it's going to cause us to press in and focus and sharpen us to be able to be acutely accurate and concise in what it is we want to accomplish in the kingdom of God. The days of just the season of just lollygagging and with lots of fun and taking it casual because things are okay is different now. I'm not saying it's going to last forever, but I'm saying we're in a different season right now. The weather's changing. So now's the time when it's time to hunker in and really get focused in the kingdom of God, because if you don't break the pressure that's being applied in the spiritual realm, then slowly but surely more pressure will be applied and more pressure will be applied. And then at what time do you cry out and say, God, rescue us, instead of know and dealing with it now in the heavenlies? We have what it takes to deal with it in the heavenlies. We do. And I want to let you know, this is not for our destruction. Only with our eyes are we going to see the destruction of the wicked. It's not going to come near us. But it's going to give us the ability to start speaking things into existence, that we can be a set apart people, that the world around us will see that we don't respond like they do. This pressure isn't affecting us like it is them. And when we can do that, we will start seeing a lot more life. And it is my belief that we'll see people added to the church in droves, because they'll see that we actually are not in bondage to this stuff, because we're dealing with it in the spiritual realm. And then they're going to see an answer and a solution and come to the church in numbers. Amen? So the pressure, in my opinion, is not as bad as some people may make it out to be. It's causing us to grow and get stronger. Amen? Our reward in heaven for not only just enduring this season, but taking advantage to bring forth the kingdom of God in earth like it is in heaven, will be the drawing of the drapes that brings light into the world like our generation has never experienced. And we can either be a part of that or we cannot be a part of that. God gives us the free will to choose what we'd like to do. But it is my belief that as we get stronger in spirit and more focused and concise, that boldness and that courage, that we be diligent and vigilant against our adversaries, that the reward that we receive in heaven, we will not be ashamed of, I promise. We will not be ashamed of it. And I encourage you, take advantage of the season we're in right now. Get your verses. Get the Word of God. Get in your prayer time to hear him tell you what he wants you to do in whatever your area is, and do it. Obey his voice. And you will have the victory in Jesus' name. Amen? I love you guys. I'm going to pray again. Father, I just thank you for everybody here today, Lord. And I thank you that those who are watching, Lord Jesus, and hearing these words. Father, I think we're in a wonderful but crucial time in history, Lord. And what a blessing that we have been chosen to be here during this time. Thank you for the favor that you've shown us in our lives, Lord. That no matter what we've walked through to this day, Lord, no matter what things the devil has done to us to these days, Lord Jesus, to what has happened because of our ignorance, Lord Jesus, and just our lack of good information, Father, that you are rousing us from our sleep, Lord Jesus, that we can awake to righteousness as sons and daughters of God and lay hold of the victory that Jesus has secured for us, Lord Jesus. That, Father, that we would stand strong and not only plant, but we would grow, Lord Jesus, and grow and grow and grow in the Spirit, that we can eat much fruit, Lord Jesus, that we would stand against the adversaries and the waymas of the devil, all those little devices that he has, Father, all those thoughts that he places inside of us, Father, all those emotions that have been trained in darkness rather than in eternal life, Father, all those things that we've had working against us, Lord. Father, let this time be a time when we press through that veil, Lord Jesus, that we can don those drapes and open them up wide, that the light of the kingdom of heaven would shine forth into this reality, into this earth. Father, give us the strength, Father, that we wouldn't give up and we wouldn't recline, but that we would move forward in manifesting the kingdom of God, not only in our physical bodies and in our own personal lives, Lord, but in the world around us also. And I trust you for this, and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.